Blog Talk Radio.
Get your hands right on high. I want you, darling, by my side. Get back home, son of a gun. Take what you win or what you lose. We'll never turn, we'll turn our face. We got it, dirt on track.
That's right, race fans. How the heck are you? Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig here tonight. We'll have Mr. CJ Sports in the studio as well. He's the producer here tonight. Just glad to have y'all another Monday night. Boy, things are heating up. We are less than 5 days away from cars being on the speedway there at Daytona International Speedway. I did check the schedule out. They will have practice on Saturday. I think some of us probably thought that the Clash was going to be on Saturday, but no, sir. We're going to have qualifying at 12 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, followed by the Clash later that evening. 20 cars are registered for the Clash, including Jamie McMurray and a few other guys that will probably be a little bit of a surprise to our listeners. But we are officially at race season. The Super Bowl is gone. Congratulations to the New England Patriots. I know it felt a lot like a win for us Saints fans last night, but the GOAT did it again. And I say the GOAT, and that's Tom Brady, which brings up an interesting topic that we've had for quite a few years here at Race Chat Live. Who is the GOAT of NASCAR? And we've had several people say it's Dale Earnhardt. Several people say that it's Richard Petty. Some have even said Jimmy Johnson could be the greatest of all time in NASCAR. But you know what, guys? I will continue my argument that the greatest of all time has yet to be announced. But he's racing right now every weekend, and I think I've got somebody sitting on the other side of this glass that'll agree with me. Kyle Busch is getting a little bit closer to those 200 NASCAR wins. Going to be a topic we're going to keep our eye on here at Race Chat Live in this 2019 season, episode number two, season number two. We got the double deuce going on here tonight. Just glad to have y'all listening in. Sit back, pour you a cup of Joe, pull out the old lighter and the peace pipe, whatever it is that you like to do, and give us a listen. And of course, you can comment on the Race Chat Live Facebook page, or you can call into the show. We'll give you a call-in number, 718-664-9861. You can press 1 to talk to the host, and we'll get you on here and let you ask us some questions. We have a bull here this evening, of course, to retract the Hall of Fame introduction was just this past weekend. We got to see Davey Allison, Alan Kulwicki, Roger Penske, Jack Roush, and Jeff Gordon all nominated for the 2018 Hall of Fame. And with that comes the biggest subject coming up here tonight, I believe the longest standing subject, and that's going to be picking out who deserves to be in the 2019 class. But race fans, you know, we moved this show from Thursday to Monday, and one of the first things that we thought about was, well, you know, NASCAR seems to have a lot of their news come out later in the week. But you know what? NASCAR gave me and Craig a gift because they have announced today, breaking news. Breaking news. Get out there. It's breaking
what
news.
What the hell?
NASCAR announced today that they're no longer going to send you to the R&D Center. We're no longer going to find out on Wednesday what the infractions were for your so-called penalties. Now, NASCAR is willing to throw the book at you, throw your crew chief away, take away your win. Guys, I'm telling you, this could very well be the game changer that puts these cars who've tried to test the limits over and over again. When you lose a win, you're going to lose a win. It's not going to be encumbered, Craig Moore. It's not going to be.
Well, it's about damn time.
Well, you can keep your money. No, sir. We're going dirt track rules. We're going short track racing in NASCAR. Now, if you are caught penalized with an illegal part, motor, whatever NASCAR claims it to be, if you are not within those fractions, you are going to be sent to the back, my friend. You're going to lose your crew chief. You're going to be fined 100 points. You're gonna just be in a lot of damn trouble. I like the move. We'll start off with this subject. I hear Craig Moore here. He had a benefit. Craig, how the hell are you? We're slowing things down here tonight. We got about four topics, and I want to spend as much time on them as we can. But how the hell are you, man?
You know what? I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Ah, good, good, good. It's about damn time that NASCAR gets off we're just going to fine you. It's about damn time that they take wins away. You know what? You get caught cheating, you pay the piper. $100,000, your crew chief goes bye-bye, your car chief's going bye-bye. Oh, and by the way, your win's no longer cucumbered. It doesn't exist. Which means
that you don't get the winnings. It used to pay to cheat, Craig Moore. You used to be able to take that fat check home and smile all the way to the bank. Not anymore.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You can't do that anymore. And it's about time. We talked about this a couple of times. We talked about this a couple of times last year and the year before. And I'm all for it. And I remember saying several dozen times that this is what NASCAR needed to do. I think the next thing that they need to do is, you know what? They find a driver, they find a crew chief, find a car owner. I don't care how much it pisses off the sponsors. You sit a driver for a week, guess what? I know everybody's going to be upset. I know if Kyle Busch gets caught cheating, I know Mr. CJ Sports is going to be madder than a red tick hen who can't get any. Because his driver is not going to be running. But you know what? It will, mark my words, if it comes to that.
Matter than what?
Will be.
Red tick hound in heat, son. Boy, you ain't never had one hump. You're like, oh, we'll change the subject real quick. But glad to have you there in the producing studio, Mr. CJ Sports. We'll bring you on here in just a second. Go ahead and finish your topic there, Craig Moore.
I just think it's about time. It's about time that NASCAR gets tough. It's been a long time coming, and like I said, I've said it dozens of times over the last couple of years, and I said it. Here, I'll go on better. When Dale and I wrecked Terry Labonte in Bristol in 98, somewhere in around there?
It was probably 96.
Okay. I said the same thing, and I was a huge Dale Earnhardt fan. I said the man should be fined and suspended. That was an intentional move. And I had people look at me 21 years ago and was like, what? And I'm like, listen, it is what it is. He did something he shouldn't have done. He knew he did it. Because he had a smirk on his face.
But now NASCAR has brought down the hammer before, Craig Moore. They brought down the hammer on a big motor one time where somebody tried to sneak in a bigger block, and then you never heard of it again. They've also brought down the hammer several times on display of immature conduct, I guess is lack of better term, with Kyle Busch wrecking Ron Hornaday at Texas, of course, and getting pushed out of the car. You've had organizations such as Roush that went ahead and fired a driver because he threw punches at Dr. Jerry Punch, no pun intended. So we've seen these infractions before. Oh, I love Dr. Jerry Punch. No pun intended, seriously. But we've seen the hammer come down before. But Craig and Mr. CJ Sports, I'd like to go ahead and bring you in here on this as well. Guys, what we're fearful of, oh, the sponsors are going to get mad. That's exactly what we need, Craig Moore, Mr. CJ Sports.
Absolutely.
Follow me here. We need these sponsors to say, how dare you put that car into a place to where it's not going to have the win. This is an embarrassment to the company. We'll go somewhere else where they can play within the rules. That, my friend, will be what makes all this work damn near perfect. Mr. CJ Sports, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, one, my thought is every team cheats, so this is going to be very intriguing to me. But anyway, I agree with all y'all. I absolutely positively agree. I never understood how you could catch somebody cheating and them still get credit for a win, even though you know they cheated to get that win. It never made sense to me. So I am completely all in, and I'm completely all in with you guys. Throw the book at them, sit his driver. I don't care what you got to do. Let's get some kind of control back, and let's bring some kind of integrity back to this sport. You're going to have drivers and teams that are still going to push the envelope. You have that in every single sport. It's just the way it is. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I'm a firm believer of that. I'm not saying it's not necessarily right, but you know, if you ain't trying to bend the rules somehow or find an advantage somewhere, then you're not doing your job. But I do agree with all this and agree with you guys.
But wait a minute, you know, let's bring this into perspective real quick, okay, and then I'll let you go, Craig. When you have motocross, Monster Energy Motocross, do you hear about them guys cheating their motors? When you have Formula One, do you hear about those guys going way beyond to cheat and make the car do things? No. There is plenty of forms of racing now that require specific details to the motor and the chassis. NASCAR's been the good old boy stock car series, right? And so they've allowed things to slide. From what I read today, guys, NASCAR put their foot on the team's throats 13 days away from the Daytona 500 and said, boys, these cars better be ready and they better be right. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I'm going to correct you. It's not 14 days. It is 12 days, 17 hours, 47 minutes, and 40 seconds until the green flag drops at Daytona.
I'm sorry, I was doing my notes on Sunday, okay? I mean, we had to do something during that horrible, boring Super Bowl.
No, let's talk about that. Let's switch quick. You're saying it was boring? I'm not a football fan. But I got home. We got home from dinner with friends of ours.
Mr. CJ Ford. Go ahead.
I'm not gonna let you interrupt me this year. I said we got home for the halftime show. That halftime show sucked, but it was more entertaining than the game if you look at it from that perspective. But everybody would have been bitching if Brady and his goons had a blowout. They would have been complaining about that. Well, it was a defensive game. I'm not even a football fan, guys, and I seen that. It had me glued to my seat. So, you know what? That just goes to prove to you that it doesn't matter what sport that we follow, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, lacrosse, NASCAR, that we as a viewing public are never happy with anything.
Nope.
And you're going to have the fans of NASCAR. You're going to have Kyle Busch fans, Kevin Harvick fans, Martin Truex fans bitching and complaining because their driver got a win taken away from them. Or now they're really in danger of not making the playoffs because they wanted Daytona, but they got caught cheating. And now that win doesn't count. It doesn't even exist. It didn't happen. It's going to the second place driver.
But did you really win if you cheated?
Well, that's a debate. That's a debate. You said it yourself, or Chris said it. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR is getting to the point to where there's not going to be a gray area. It's black and white. There's no gray area.
I applaud NASCAR for realizing this, for seeing this and confronting it because this isn't going to be the stoppage either. I will put over-under on each driver that we believe is going to get caught cheating first, and I guarantee you every single one of you are going to agree it's going to be one driver. It's going to be Kevin Harvick. He's going to be the first one penalized because Kevin and that team at Stuart Haas is going to go – they are going to push the issue. But you know how NASCAR answers that issue? You know how they answer that issue? They completely disallow them from participating in the chase this year. They make sure that they rattle that team so hard that they won't be able to get a sponsor for that driver next year, okay? That's what NASCAR is going to have to do. They've got the shoelace, the foot, the boot around the neck of these teams right now. But eventually, in order to pull this off, and I think both of you are going to agree with me, they're going to have to bring out the Gillian. They're going to have to chop a head, guys.
You mean the guillotine, not the Gillian. I agree with you 110%, and I think it's a long time coming for NASCAR. I think they needed to do something, and like I said, I've said it 100 times over the last 2, 3, 4, 20 years, that NASCAR has got to do something to not be the laughingstock of the sports community. I mean, you, CJ, you said it yourself. You're cheating, you get caught. But guess what? 2018 and previous, your win still counted. You still got to keep the big check. Not anymore. Now you go to the government cheese line. You don't get to go to the head of the class.
It's a game changer, guys. It's a game changer. CJ Sports, do you have any closing with this particular subject here?
Does that now change things strategically? You know, some teams go for it on fuel mileage or this, that, and the other. Knowing that there's a possibility you still may get a win if the winner doesn't pass inspection, does that change strategies? Does that change anything at all, do you think?
I think it does. It's going to have to. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, if I'm running, if I've got 10 to go, I'm not going to push my limit. If we've got 10 to go and I've only got 8 miles worth of fuel, 8 laps worth of fuel, 9 laps, I'm not going to push it. We've seen what happened with Dale Jr. a few years ago when he, I believe it was at Martinsville, when he looped his car around to get a caution. That won't happen again no more.
No, it hasn't happened since because NASCAR instituted the rule that if you spin out and you create the caution, you are no longer eligible for what they called at that time the lucky dog.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they'll get, you know, NASCAR, they're going to have to fill this one out, and they're definitely going to have to bring in further penalties, and, you know, because this will change the dynamic of racing as teams adapt to the fact that, hey, we can't over-engineer these cars anymore. And when that happens, guys, they're going to spend money in other places to try to do other things. You're going to see more expensive brake calipers. You're going to see, you know, extreme technology and things that you never thought of before, because these teams are going to continue to spend and try to find a way to continue to beat the system. It is part of racing. I don't see until NASCAR starts handing out parts and pieces that you it's the performance parts industry versus NASCAR. And we know who has more money.
For now. All right, so let's talk about the new qualifying rules. I think this is great from what I was able to read about it real quick when I got home from work and before I went to our local fire department. They're going to cut the first 3 rounds from 15 to 10 minutes respectively. The other rounds will remain at 10 minutes for round 2 and 5 minutes for the final round. I think that's great. I think it quickens qualifying and it makes it to where you got to get your crap together real quick. you got to figure that car out right off the truck. If your car's not ready to go when you take the laps at practice, you better figure it out quick because your qualifying times are cut in thirds.
Once again, Craig Moore, this is the brilliance of Jim France. He's come in and shook every tree possible. He is finding ways to cut costs. Because basically, you know, you think about the extra time and per presentation that it takes to keep these cars out there for longer. You're cutting the show now by 30 minutes. You know, in every which way that Jim France can shake these trees and find a way for NASCAR teams and the sanctioning body itself to save money, you've noticed since he's come into power, we've seen a lot of changes. That's what good leadership does. This tweaking of the qualifying is great. I would just like to see more same-day qualifying, allow the practicing to go on first and then qualifying and then the race on the same day, qualifying and race on the same day, or just a two-day event, qualify on Saturday, race on Sunday.
Now, the time in between, or is it the qualifying, each round has been shorter?
Each round.
I like that because, let's be honest, most of the knockout qualifying, they wait until the very last minute to go out there anyway. So all that did was just make everybody go out on the track a little bit sooner than they normally would anyway. So that
right.
I like that because everybody waited for the last minute or two, so they were the last one, so nobody could bump them out. So you really didn't do nothing other than just make them come out a little bit earlier.
I think we have the new rule package. We have the new rule package coming as well, guys, and y'all just made an interesting point, something that wasn't even in my notes. When you say you're going to bunch them up, a lot of this rule package is based off of drafting off of each other's cars. We will see even higher qualifying speeds with the guys that are able to draft. But the question is, will we see once again people taking advantage and laying back to take advantage of the draft, which then puts them in a higher qualifying number?
I don't think you can afford to lay back in sandbag. With the shorter qualifying times, you're going to have to get out there and bust your hump to get it done. And if you're going to wait, I mean, you're going from 15 to 10 minutes, depending on what track you're running, that could be 20 laps, or that could be 70.
And I would guess, guys, with that, you know, just by throwing this out here, pit strategy, if I'm Hendrick Motorsports, I'm making sure every single one of my cars are going out at the exact same time so that they can run together.
Absolutely, and you're going to see more and more of that. You're going to see all the teams doing that. Even the teams that have alliances, quote-unquote, you're going to see them out there together. So that way they can all be close together and be bed buddies. I'm in rare form tonight. I'm amped up, and I haven't had soda in a month, so what does that tell you?
Look, you can't buy Coca-Cola in this house. My wife introduced me back to Coca-Cola week. You know, it was the holidays, and, you know, everybody likes to share a Coke. So, not that kind of Coke, guys. Chill out, okay? Ha, ha, ha. Anyway. So, we call it soda down here because Coke is most of the time referenced to something else. But anyway, my wife buys a Coca-Cola. It was great. Then next thing you know, another Coca-Cola winds up in there. Well, guys, I quit drinking caffeine, you know, last year, and really some great effects for that. I didn't realize how much caffeine was in my everyday diet and how hyper and crazy it kind of made me feel until I was away from it. Guys, I will not lie to you. I went in there the other day and I dang near drank a whole 2 liter of Coca-Cola. And I said to myself, this is not going to happen again. I am done. It's only the second time in my life I've quit Coke.
But this time, I'm forever done with it, guys. I mean, seriously, it might as well be a drug because caffeine is a hell of a drug.
Oh, God, yeah. Listen, as I just said, we're kind of off the racing topic, but not really because Coke and Pepsi sponsor NASCAR, so I guess it goes hand in hand. I was a firm believer in drinking the product that sponsored my driver, and when I would go to a DJ gig, I'd bring a 12-pack of Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is one of the worst sodas to drink. And I woke up January 4th of this year. We were packing my lunch for me to go to work. Dana was, and she says, "How many sodas you want?" And I said, "None." She looked at me like I had six heads. She says, "What are you going to drink?" I said, "Water." Well, I have not had a soda since January 4th. I sleep a lot better. My blood pressure is lower. I cut out my caffeine. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with Dale Jr.'s retired now. So there's no real need to support Mountain Dew and PepsiCo. Correct. Although he is coming out of retirement, he's going to run a race.
No, I knew that was going to come up.
I know, and I just waited to see how long he's been on air for 26 minutes, and it's already out. Nobody could keep it up, and I was going to say it at the end, but, you know, leave it to Craig, go off script, go ahead and throw in the Dale Jr. comeback. Huh?
I don't agree with it. I think once you're retarded, I mean retired, you should stay retired.
Yes.
But I understand that, you know, fans want to see it, and
Really want to see it, Craig?
No, I don't.
Would you want to see Peyton Manning go play in a Pro Bowl 4 years after retirement?
Well,
in any other sport, what would you have? Ozzie Smith go play for the Cardinals one extra day? I mean, guys, seriously. And this is the problem with these retired mogul superstars. They don't know when to step away from TV. I admire Peyton. Other than in his cheesy commercials, the guy kind of walked away from everything, you know?
Yeah,
cheesy commercials are great, but he's not down your throat. It just sickens me that these guys get straight out of race cars and go into the broadcasting booth, and you know, we had this subject last week. It's like, guys, go retire. Go enjoy it. Let's give us a chance to miss you. And this is another way to get Junior Nation all hyped up. Will he come back or doing a special number 8 car? They changed the number the whole year for a strategic marketing strategy. Let me tell you something, guys. There must be a lot of money on that Darlington race for them to make all the changes that they made this year just for one Dale Earnhardt Jr. comeback. I mean, Lionel race cars, they must already be sold out of what the car may look like.
Yeah. No, I agree, and I'm not, well, you know me, I can't keep a secret, but I was, when I heard it, I kind of just sat there and I shook my head and I thought to myself, what have you got to prove? You walked away for health reasons. Why would you come back? Why would you come back at a track that is noted for super tight racing, and you're going to hit the wall. It's guaranteed you're going to hit the wall. They don't call it the Lady in Black for nothing. They don't call it a Darlington Stripe for nothing. So,
because that throwback, it will be priceless when it comes to the marketing and the. Do you know how many T-shirts are going to be sold just for that race? Do you know how much money these retailers are going to make promoting the throwback with Dale Earnhardt Jr. back in the number 8? It finally happened, all of you race fans. He's finally in his grandfather's number, his original number. You know, I mean, Jesus. They made a lot of money off of him coming back in the number 3 Wrangler. This is nothing more than another publicity stunt for somebody to rake in a bunch of change, guys. And you know what?
Yeah.
It's sales sponsorship for Junior Motorsports for the 2020 season. I guarantee you it does.
Sure it does.
So, I mean, can we really knock them for that? I guess the real question is, can we knock Dale Jr. for not doing it? I mean, right? This is a great strategic money-rolling type deal here. I mean, this is poetic almost, the comeback at the throwback, okay? I mean, that's got a ring to it. Thoughts, guys?
You can't fault him. Does he need the money? Hell no. You know that his financial people are keeping him well abreast of all his financial doings. I'm sure his wife is, you know.
I thought his wife told me he had to stop.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she necessarily told him he had to stop. I think that he thought it was time to stop, and he was right. He probably should have stayed stopped.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. I know I'm going to interrupt
you,
but I just had that moment where, did you ever have that friend out at the bar that used to come to the bar, and then all of a sudden he just quit coming, and you didn't know what happened to Bob? Well, that's because Bob's wife
got married.
You're not going to the bar anymore, right? So you never seen Bob again, right? Well, in this case, have you ever been to a party and said, yeah, my wife doesn't really let me go out because you didn't really want to hang out with that person? Yeah, Carl Edwards, his wife said, go the hell home and don't look back. Here's the keys to the Maserati, okay? And Dale Earnhardt Jr. said, well, you know, my wife kind of doesn't want me racing a race car. You know. So there is a big difference. Bob, you didn't come back to the bar. Dale Jr., yeah, I'll race one more.
Sure he will, because it's in his blood. But I want to know what, I don't know what that noise is in the background, but it sounds like you're cooking something, Chris.
I've been keeping my mute button on just to try to keep from talking over you, to be honest with you. So it's not me.
You're a liar.
Okay, that's very rude to call a man lying when I mean, that's just rude.
So, let's talk about
freaking Northerners, man. Where do they get off of that rudeness?
I don't know.
You be quiet, Jason. Aren't you from like Ohio originally? Do I need to call your mama? Jason?
Mommy.
I will call your mommy in a heartbeat. I will message her on Facebook.
I bet you would.
I would. I'd say, your son is being rude. Can you whoop him up? And she'd probably do it.
She will.
So let's talk about Jeff Gordon's acceptance speech.
Oh, God.
I'm not a huge Gordon fan, and I never was, but, you know, I knew that his stepdad, and I hate that term, I knew that his stepdad got him involved in racing, and they were racing go-karts at 5, and at 18 he ran a USAC thing on Saturday Night Thunder, or whatever the hell it was called back then. And then who was it? Bud Moore that was upset with him because he was going to go run. He had a chance to run a Ford, get a contract with a Ford, and then he said no, and he even made mention of that in his speech. I'm surprised he didn't have a glass of milk at this induction. But, you know, do I think that he's deserving to be in the Hall of Fame? Yes. We're going to talk about who else is deserving to be in the Hall of Fame, and it's not Tony Stewart. I'm sorry, Chris, but we will talk about that later.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty heated discussion that I figured was going to take a lot of the time here tonight. So it's nice to see us running through this. But back to the awards banquet. I think the most intriguing part of all of the awards banquet was the Alan Kowicki acceptance by Felix Sabatis. I had known that Alan had not had very much family and that, you know, it was very limited. But I did not know that Felix Sabatis was his executor of estate when he passed away. And so the original joke with him wearing the socks that come from Alan's house, it was kind of like, what? And then I had to, like, rewind and be like, oh, okay, he's the executor of the state. So he took care of a lot of the stuff. But definitely, you know, to see that presented that way and to know that Allen didn't have very much family, we as race fans are told that we are the family of these guys. Like, it's a big racing family. I really felt like getting him into the Hall of Fame meant so much more because the legacy of the Kawicki family lies only with Allen, and he will forever be a legend. And now, you know, he's not just a legend, he's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, Davey's acceptance speech, it was great. Roger Penske, you know, the captain. I mean, what can you say? And Roush, I mean, Roush stood up there, and he had some jokes and some funny. But out of all of that, I would say the most impressive thing was, since you said something about Gordon, I mean, Leo, if he isn't a spitting image of Jeff.
Oh, God, yeah.
Are we looking at a future driver for the 24 car at Gordon Motorsports? I mean, it looks like
well,
you guys.
Well, slow down there, Southerner. You guys are running. You're running too fast for the South. It is not Gordon Motorsports yet. It is Hendrick Motorsports.
Until
NASCAR and Hendrick make the much-needed changes they need to make, Gordon's not even thinking about the day he takes over and redecorates Rick Hendrick's office in pink.
Wow. Yeah, definitely similar to Tom Brady's episode last night with Robert Kraft and his dad. And well, we're not even going to get into that subject. I mean, it's just unreal. But, you know, Gordon, I do believe he'll take over Hendrick one day. I do believe Leo will be given the charm to drive a race car, just as Dale Jr. was, just as Chase Elliott has been, just as Dale Jarrett. What?
You're right. But Jeff Gordon, let me explain something to you. Jeff Gordon is 48 years old. You really think he's going to live long enough to see Leo get in a cup car?
Oh, my gosh, definitely. Yeah, no, I mean, the diet plans that these guys are on, the health, they've got the best health care around. I did notice that Gordon has definitely aged a bit and actually put on a few pounds. Which was surprising, knowing that he was probably one of the healthiest geeks in the garage for many, many years. It was kind of like, wow, he's getting a little bit older, but hey, man, that's retirement. He's got a healthy-looking wife and some healthy-looking kids, and yeah, I do expect Jeff Gordon to be around for a very, very, very long time, Craig Moore.
No, and I say that in jest because Jeff and I are the same age. We just have different bank accounts. They got mixed up.
Yeah. Are you the other son of William Gordon?
Yeah, I'm
the
straight one.
You have so many different last names and aliases that it's just hard to find.
Hey, listen, you know, stay on that radar somehow.
Yeah, I mean, when it was your birthday and it didn't show up on Facebook, that was alarm number one. Who is this guy, really? You know, they got him around, right, but he's really a Moore. I don't know now. Yeah. But some things are better for TV than for radio. So we're going to go on more someday. Yeah, definitely.
Listen, real quick, guys, the reason – I want to explain to everybody that cares why we were late tonight. We were late because Dana and I had to go make a presentation at our local fire department. We raised $400 for our local Mayfield Fire Department at a couple of fundraisers that we had in their honor in January. So we went and presented them with a check. So that is why we were late. We ran the show late this week. So that I could get back and we could have dinner and things like that. So I want to thank you guys for allowing us to start a half hour late. But I just think I'm excited for 2017. I've never been excited for a racing season as much as I have been over the last couple of weeks. And especially today when NASCAR made that announcement, and I'm going to go back to it. For those of you just tuning in who've lived under a rock for the last, like, 9 hours, NASCAR has said that if you are caught cheating, they're not sending your car back to the R&D center. No, 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 no. You go through post-tech and you're caught cheating. Well, your win's going to be taken away. Totally. They're not going to encumber it. You're not going to put an asterisk by it. It does not exist. And the guys and I have discussed it over and over again. And we have decided that it's about time that NASCAR take off their thongs and put on their big boy panties. And they did that this year. And these guys are going to, you're going to see some things changing. Chris, you had said, and I kind of find it hard to believe that you would say it being a Kevin Harvick fan, but Chris said that he believes that Harvick is going to be the first one caught cheating. So there is a poll in Facebook land.
Yes, definitely. I want the top guys on there as well, Craig. Make sure that we put Kyle Busch, make sure we put Martin Truex Jr., and the big four. Which of the big four gets caught cheating first?
I will see if we can add four people to that poll. I'm not 100% sure we can, but I will try my best. What are you guys looking forward to most? Who is that, Cameron? Which tricycle motor was that of yours? You guys there?
Yeah, I tried to go in there and get him calmed down there. Sorry. Cameron likes to be tough guy, so...
That's all right. What are you guys looking forward to most that Sunday? Are you
the
guys
2019 rule package, man. I mean, well, this Sunday, I'm not sure. I thought you were going to stop it at that. I'm very much looking forward to the new racing that we've got coming before us. I think the NASCAR's gone way out of the way to make sure that these cars are better competitive, that there's not so much difference between the first car and the 30th car. I understand that the last 10 cars, they're going to, there's always going to be those field fillers, what they call them. I call them back of the pack racers. They're racing their own race. But coming up for this weekend, being that it's Speed Weeks in Daytona, I'm looking forward to seeing cars on the track. I don't know who else wouldn't say that that's their number one hype coming into Daytona Speed Weeks this week. It's going to be interesting to see who lands on the pole. There was a big conspiracy this year where we've had Danica Patrick wind up on the pole. We had Austin Dillon wind up on the pole when, on Dale Earnhardt.
Let's not talk about Danica and poles, okay? I thought we were having
We're having race chat live, so there's no way that we can get through an episode without mentioning Danica Patrick. You had to bring up Dale Jr. I had to bring up Danica Patrick. It's a hook, line, sinker type deal, man. If you can't handle it, then I guess go to Boxing Chat Live. I don't know what to tell you, but if you're going to bring up Dale Jr., I'm going to bring up Danica Patrick. It's just meant to be in Race Chat Live. There's no chance in hell that one couldn't be mentioned without the other. Okay?
No
so
chance. That's what you got.
No conspiracy. No big conspiracy this year. I mean, I guess we have to look at who is the favorite to win the pole. Who's going to find that horsepower? Who's going to, I guess we could automatically point if Chase Elliott winds up on the pole for the Daytona 500. It's a big, it's big, it's massive, it's a conspiracy.
What am I looking forward to this weekend?
As I
just opened my can of Coca-Cola, because you guys may have given up Coca-Cola, but I've not given up Coca-Cola. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'm sitting down, going online, and purchasing my tickets for the Daytona 500 this year. That's what I'm looking for this weekend.
Oh, interesting. So I've looked at some prices for the Daytona 500 tickets as I compared them to the Super Bowl tickets. And the Super Bowl tickets were going right around $1,530-something dollars. Well, the average ticket for the Daytona 500 isn't but $139, guys. Do you see what happened?
So you know what that means, Chris, you know what that means? The average ticket is $139. So Jason is going to do a company trip down to Daytona, and he's going to fly us all in.
Hey, get that Learjet fired up, man. You got to stop up here at the airport. I'll be there. My bags are packed already.
I wish it was that easy. Believe me, you. I wish it was that easy.
You can't put it on the company credit card.
So you just made me spit my water out. I appreciate it. So we've avoided this, and now it's time to get into it, guys. There's 20 guys on the list for the chance to be in the Hall of Fame. Only 5 get in. We have names, and not to say that I can't list them all. I'm going to name a lot of the important ones. Tony Stewart, of
They're
course. Well, you know, here's where the discussion gets deep. There's an it factor when you're talking about a Hall of Famer, okay? In any other sport, there are ballers, and then there are Hall of Famers, okay? You have a guy like Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla. Does anybody remember Bobby Bonilla? And sitting
I
in
do not remember
guys,
Bobby
okay.
Bonilla.
Bobby Bo. Okay, Bobby Bo was a great player. He played on the same team as Barry Bonds. But did Bobby Bo make it? Did Bobby Bo make it to the Hall of Fame?
The only thing good about Bobby Bo is he still gets paid like $1 million a year for like God knows another 20 years.
I love it. The guy's right there on Sports Facts. I love that. I mean, that's why Mr. CJ Sports is my guy, because he's there. He knows this. He knows the New York Mets are still paying this man to this day for a contract they signed. He had a Hall of Fame contract, Mr. CJ Sports. Thank you. But he's not a Hall of Famer. He's not an impactor. When you say Michael Jordan, that's the it factor. When you say Tiger Woods, that's the it factor. When you say Mickey Mantle, that was the it factor, okay? When you know, in racing, when you say Dale Earnhardt, that's the it factor. There's a lot of guys in this Hall of Fame already that don't have that it factor. There's Ray Evernham. So what? He won a few races with Jeff Gordon, a couple championships. There's another guy, Mark Martin, not to knock him, but is he really a Hall of Famer? No Daytona 500 wins, 0 championships, okay? There's a lot of guys in this list that don't necessarily have the hit factor, which changes the whole concept of what a Hall of Fame truly is. Because in most sports, to be Joe Brown, you were the best. To be Peyton Manning, who's a future Hall of Famer, he has that it factor. You know he is the best. When we're looking at this year's 2020 Hall of Fame potential inductees, we have names like Tony Stewart, Joe Gibbs. We have Red Farmer, Sam Ard, Kurt Schaudermein. We also have Harry Gant, Carl Edwards, Greg Biffle. We have Ralph Moody and John Holman, of course, Holman and Moody. These guys, they're connected together, but they're separate on the ballot, okay? Then we've got Buddy Baker over here who hadn't got in yet but has a championship. Guys, it's going to be really tough to singulate which one of these guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think from the top of the list, everybody wants to put in Gibbs. Everybody wants to put in Tony Stewart. And I'll be honest with you. Some of these guys like Sam Ard, I had to go and look at their stats. Red Farmer, yeah, he's been around forever, but Red Farmer did a lot of things behind the scenes that people didn't see. Harry Hyde, I mean, they made a movie about that guy. Harry Hyde, I think, says Hall of Fame all over it. But we'll talk about the other Harry, Harry Gant. Does Harry Gant belong in the Hall of Fame or directly, I mean, first-time ballot to the Hall of Fame? Guys, as y'all start telling me your Hall of Fame picks, because this was a subject that we've already discussed and we should have our homework done on this, yeah, I want you guys to give me your top five, and then I want to give you the reasons why I don't think that some of these guys really deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, or maybe not necessarily yet. And one of those names, and I'll go ahead and sneak peek it to you listeners, is Joe Gibbs. I have a reason for putting Tony Stewart into the Hall of Fame, but I have a reason
not to
put Joe Gibbs into the Hall of Fame. So as we open this Pandora's box, Craig Moore, I hope you've done your homework. Who's your pick
five?
Well,
I'm going to let Jason go, but before I do that, Stats just chimed in. Mr. Mike Pericone just sent me a message. I love this, man. He said, if you're a Mets fan, you remember Bonilla. So, if you're a Mets fan, we'll remember Bobby Bo.
You know,
but
and
it's
I'm
like Frank Thomas. It's like Frank Thomas. What is he most noted for now? Commercials for Nugenix, for male enhancement.
You're right.
The one guy sees him on every billboard and every bus in a half a block radius. And the guy's wife wants to sleep with Frank Thomas. She doesn't really want to, because he takes eugenics and her husband doesn't.
Okay, Craig Moore. We need to put him on mute. He cannot. All right. So,
I told you I'm on fire.
Are you ready to name your top five?
No, I'm going to let Jason do his.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Okay, I just clarified.
I just updated the list on the group page just in case you need something to look at there real quick. So we'll give Mr. CJ Sports a second to pull that up. I can go further into detail because this was most of the subject that I studied this week was the future Hall of Fame class. Of course, Kirk Shelmerdine, he was the crew chief for Dale Earnhardt. He was the winningest crew chief there for a very long time. Actually, he was so good that he was similar to Michael Jordan, guys. He decided, hey, I've accomplished everything as a crew chief. I'm going to come back as an owner driver, and he actually tried to field his own cup car there at the end of his career. There's other guys named Smokey Unick. Of course, he changed the game of NASCAR. He challenged every rule in the book. He was the Junior Johnson of time before Junior Johnson was Junior Johnson. So Smokey Unick kind of paved the way there for the cheating is racing. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying concept. That's kind of what Smokey did, and that's how he made a name for himself. There's Ray Fox, of course, John Holman, we said him, Harry Hyde, Greg Biffle, Bobby Labonte, a championship winner. I believe I'm not sure if a Daytona 500 win is in Bobby's tank there. But Herschel McGriff, of course, you know, those guys helped pave the way. I said Ralph Moody already, Jack Sprague, Larry Phillips, Sam Ard, Ricky Rudd. Ricky Rudd had at one point in time a 12 or 13-year race span where he won a race every year. But he never was a Daytona 500 champion, and he never was a championship winner. So, you know, Mike Stefanik and Buddy Baker, of course, on that list as well, along with Tony Stewart. So we've given you enough time. Mr. CJ Sports, take a look over that. Tell me your top five.
Oh, top five. Obviously, Gordon's got to be in the top five.
No. Which Gordon? The class of 20 election. The new class. You got to pick five of the 20 that can be put onto the Hall of Fame ballot for 2020. As I said, I put it in the group Facebook thing, yeah.
Let me go to that then, because this is, they have Gordon part of that.
Yeah, that was last year's.
All right.
How's it last year's? Because it has Harry Gant, it has Ralph Moody, it has Davey Allison, Buddy Baker, and at the same list of people you just named off, Ray Fox, Joe Gibbs, Harry Hyde, Alan Kwicki.
That's your carryovers.
Yeah, Alan Kwicki made it in this year. Yeah, some of those are carryovers, right? Good point there, Craig. I was kind of scratching my head myself on that. Which says that some of these guys that really deserve to already be in are getting the snub to new generational drivers and new generational fans. It was an amazing accomplishment to get Davey and Alan in only 2 years after people started really pushing the fact that Alan and Davey deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, which opens up the next question, because I know that we've had this argument on Rake Chat Live before about the possibility of Danica Patrick and Dale Jr. being a first ballot Hall of Famer when they come aboard, not because of their performance, but because of their impact on the sport. So that's once again where I say this Hall of Fame in NASCAR is not even close to what a Hall of Fame is in sports, in other sports, stick and ball sports, and, of course, football, that included. Yeah, as you're looking through that list of the 2020 election, hopefully you've brought that up now. Are you there, Mr. CJ Sports?
I'm getting on the fan page now. My page is upside down for some reason.
Like his driver is going to be at the 500.
Oh.
She ain't,
wow,
she ain't racing this year.
Shot over the bow.
All right, here we go. We'll wait on CJ. I'm a traditionalist. I'm a traditionalist. I think that you said that, Chris, you brought up an interesting point, I think we need to explain how this Hall of Fame balloting thing works. And it's voted on by press and by drivers that are there, or Hall of Fame members that are already there,
mm-hmm.
along with a select few people. So it's drivers that are putting – it's Hall of Fame members that are putting these drivers in, these people in. Are they putting in their favorites? Absolutely. But if you left it up to a fan vote, we'd do the same thing. I think that the ones that paved the way for people like Bobby Labonte, Tony Stewart, Carl Edwards, I don't think he belongs on the list, any list whatsoever, except with the list he's on, which is retired.
Well, he's had a comparable career to Mark Martin, and if Mark Martin's in, then that means Carl
Mark
Edwards
Martin
should
be
in.
And all right, here, I'll give you one better. I'll make it a comparison then. The Country Music Hall of Fame, the Grand Ole Opry, they made Carrie Underwood a member 2 years after she came out back in 2006. She didn't have a stellar career then. She had 3 singles out on the charts, but they put her in the Grand Ole Opry. Why? Because she was young, blonde, and female. So, same thing. They're putting in drivers that you said they're passing up the older. They're passing up the forefathers of the sport for the newer generation of drivers. They're forgetting who paved the way for these new generation of drivers to be what they are today. Car owners, absolutely. Roger Penske. Do I think Joe Gibbs deserves a spot? Absolutely not. Do I think Tony Stewart does? Well, yes and no. Yes, because what he's done for the sport since he's left it as a full-time car owner, absolutely. Look what he's done for Eldora. That was an exhibition race for a glory race once a year, and now it is a points race, and it is a serious race for the truck series. So, from an owner standpoint, yes. Driver's standpoint, maybe. Ricky Rudd, I don't really think so. Mike Stefanik, which is one of Stats' picks, too, I'm not really quite sure about. So here's going to be my top 5. Harry Hyde. Mm-hmm. Why the hell is Greg Biffle on this list? What did he ever do?
Exactly. I mean, really, there's no Daytona 500 win, no championship.
You gotta go with the old. You gotta go with the older guys. You gotta give these guys credit. Buddy Baker, Red Fox. As I said, Harry Hyde. Like you said, Chris, they made a movie about him for crying out Christmas. Kurt Shelmerdine and Herschel McGriff.
Wow. So he went with a couple of old school there, and I do believe, you know, that the old school, we've got time to get some of these new school guys in. And it's interesting that you picked Tony Stewart to kind of pick on, but I'm going to give you my reason for Tony Stewart. It's what he brought to the sport. Tony Stewart brought his own fans to NASCAR. Tony Stewart was a successful open-wheel driver who made the transition, similar to only a few, like Mario Andretti, and just the list, Bobby Isaac and a few others, the list is very small of actual guys that stepped out of an IndyCar and into a NASCAR and was successful. But also, his three championships are very impressive, of course. It puts him up on the top of the list and championships in NASCAR. But that one driver-owner championship that hangs above his shelf, that had not been done since Alan Kulwicki. I believe that in itself is the power drive that says Tony Stewart belongs in the Hall of Fame as a first ballot Hall of Famer. But now, Mr. CJ Sports, you can argue that, but I'm also still waiting on your top five.
Oh, I don't argue that. I feel that, you know, him winning a championship as owner and as driver and what he has done for this sport definitely puts him in that list. I want Buddy Baker, Harry Hyde. I can agree with Harry Gant, and
see, that's the it factor playing into this. You want to say Joe Gibbs Racing, right? I mean, I know you
know.
And then there's always the question with Ralph Moody and John Holman, because, of course, Holman and Moody Motorsports filled a lot of cars for a lot of drivers. Then you've got your crew chief sitting over there that's being forgotten about. And Sam Ward, you don't even know who the hell he is. And Red Farmer, you know kind of this and that, but you don't really know much about his statistical career. I mean, if I could go into Mr. CJ Sports' mind right now, I would go any, mini, miny, mo, pick Carl Edwards by the toe. So I would say Carl Edwards would be your last.
I think Carl Edwards is done still, so I'm not doing it. he's not retired yet. My fifth one, I would probably have to do research on it. Like I said, I like Tony Stewart, Buddy Baker, Harry Gant, and Harry Hyde. My fifth one, I would probably have to do more research. There's a lot of names that I don't know personally or don't know enough about them without doing the proper research to have and not snub the fifth one. I don't like the Bobby Labonte pick. I don't like the Joe Gibbs pick, Carl Edwards pick, Greg Biffle pick, Ricky Rudd pick. Those names I do know off the top of my head that I would not put on this list. I don't know if I'd ever put them on this list. They would have to come out of retirement and do something else in my book. And Joe Gibbs would have to do much more of what he has done, throwing up a bunch of money and having to have a bunch of talented drivers do a bunch of work for him is, I don't know, not necessarily Hall of Fame material for me.
Right, which is a lot different than the innovations that Roush brought than the business concept that Penske has brought to the table, plus all the years. I mean, Penske was involved since the 60s in NASCAR and had several stints as team owner before finally falling into his long ownership now with Team Penske. But I wanted to ask you one quick question. Is Buddy Baker, you left Buddy Baker off that list, right? And my question
no,
to you
Buddy
is... Oh, you did say Buddy Baker. Okay. So, and I want to sell Buddy Baker for those who aren't listening. That's why I wanted to bring up the point if you had not said him. But Buddy Baker did a lot of things in a race car that, you know, he had a very good career as a race car driver. But Buddy Baker also made a big transition. And if you can't remember Buddy Baker calling races and his thick tongue and just had a way to sell you the race and as a broadcaster. So I put Buddy Baker in, not just as a driver, but also his influence on the sport there as a broadcast.
I agree.
Wow. Now, I believe that's all of our picks. Did I announce my picks, my official pick? Are Tony Stewart, Buddy Baker, Red Farmer, Harry Hyde, and Smokey Unick. After doing a lot of research on Red Farmer, the guy's still 90-something years old. He's racing at Talladega Short Tracks, which isn't but an hour and a half to the east of us here. But Red Farmer had a lot to do with the beginning of NASCAR, and he also had a lot to do with the Alabama gang and the shop time. He's not necessarily a Dale Inman, but, you know, Maurice Petty just worked on the motors, and Red Farmer had a lot of a lot of shop time with a lot of famous drivers, and his influence in race cars are still to this day, you know, relevant. And so unprecedented is what I could say when I think of the name Red Farmer. He's done beyond what anybody's ever believed and had a Hall of Fame career based off his longevity and his ability to evolve with the sport as it's changed throughout the years. Harry Hyde, it's a no-brainer, guys. Like I said, I mean, they made a movie about this guy, Smokey Unick. Of course, nobody will ever forget about the 13 car, the gold and black car that could be or may not be or is a fourth of a scale off from the original make of the car, because Smokey Unick was smart enough to build a smaller scale car and put it out there on the racetrack to pilot by none other than Mario Andretti. So there's a lot of names on this list. Harry Gant, I think, was one that I had questioned with you, Mr. CJ Sports. I understand Harry Gant won four races in a row at a point in time. He had a pretty good career there, going for about 6 or 7 years, where he was in victory lane a lot. But there was a lot of earlier time with Handsome Harry that wasn't so relevant in his career. But definitely you're stepping out there with your picks, and I like all of them. But I think the one thing that we're all taking away from this is Joe Gibbs doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame yet, and there's a lot of reasons to that, and a lot of it has to do with his longevity, and a lot of it has to do with what more was he really than just a car owner. What innovations did we see? Oh, he bailed out TRD, and I guess Toyota Racing Development would definitely put them in their Motorsports Hall of Fame from the word go, because basically he did single-handedly save Toyota Racing in NASCAR. But other than that, he did just buy a research and development team from Rick Hendrick in 1992, and even used the same number that Greg Sachs had ran in 91 in the 18 car. So there wasn't much that changed. The cars were coming straight from Hendrick Motorsports at that time. Of course, JGR is a major player in NASCAR today. They have a lot of development time, and, of course, a lot of research and development goes on at their engine department. But at the same time, there will be a day that Joe Gibbs gets in the Hall of Fame. Let's keep building his credentials and not just go ahead and rush him in.
Hey, guys, we got somebody listening. Let's punch them in. Jason, can you bring in Stats real quick?
Done.
Hey, guys.
Stats,
hey,
what's
guys.
Going on, buddy? What's the hat?
Okay, I got five for you. And I got the two that I put on top were not necessarily in order, but I heard a couple of guys mention who are these guys. The one I know, because I met him, was Mike Stefanik. He is a modified driver who ran for years out of New England on the modified tour. It wasn't Whalen then. Actually, the end of Whalen he was in also. In the end of his career, I think 2 or 3 years, Whalen had been the sponsor. But he was running the tour way before Whalen took it on. The other one was Jack Sprague, who's a local driver that I knew. And the other three for me would be Stewart, Smokey Unick, and Harry Gant.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, besides your first two picks, what is your reason for Tony Stewart?
I had the mute on. I had the mute on. Hold on just a second. I had the mute on. I want people to know real quick that Mike guy, the last one that's on the list, what is his name, Steph?
Stefanik.
Isn't he the one that back in the 2013 or so, the battle at the Bay, where he got all mad when the reporter stuck the microphone in his face? He was he just had an endless meme that had started because of his mean looking face. That's the same guy, right?
He was a modified guy. I don't know. I don't remember any problem he had with a reporter. It could very well have been him.
Okay. Guys, what's going on here? Well, we got quiet?
I'm here. What happened?
I'm not sure.
I mean,
everybody got quiet. We must put everybody to sleep, Pat.
I thought y'all were going somewhere.
No, I'm listening. I'm being a good student.
You were muted, Chris, and you said, hold on, you wanted to say something, so I thought we was all going back to whatever we was talking about before then, but I didn't remember what we was talking about before then.
Wait, is it California rules there? No, I'm just kidding. So that was his pick, Stat. So what else you got there, bud?
Look, I gave you the Fox, Stefanik, Sprague, Stewart, Stefanik, Sprague, Stewart, Smokey, and Gant. Smokey, Unick, and Grant. Gant. Harry Gant.
All right, Miss Lee just chimed into the 110 message thread. She says, Gant, Unick, Baker, Hyde, and Stewart. So,
I think we're getting pretty close to the same. Relatively the same. I think we're all having maybe one different on each other, but I think we're all pretty close.
All right, somebody want to, Chris, maybe you could expand on this. Explain to everybody what the new Gen 7 car is going to be next season at the Daytona 500.
No problem. It's going to be a full composite body car. Basically, this is the new 8. We've been racing the Generation 6 for a little over 10 to 12 years now. Of course, this car started out with the wing. The Generation 7 car is going to be, you know, new aerodynamic package, composite body. And not only that, but in 2022, this will be installed in 2021. Of course, we're expecting a lot of changes coming from NASCAR. Here in the next couple of years. And then, so 2021 will be the year for the full composite body, the Generation 7 race car. And in 2022, we'll see the new engine come out, the new engine package that they'll have out as well. So, you know, as I said before, Jim France has been roughing up things for sure, shaking about every tree that he can. So, you know, expect these changes and expect them to be, you know, big changes, but I'll go to the right. In other words, it's going to get better from here. And I did find that picture that I was talking about, and it was one of the original memes on Facebook. I just posted it on the group there for you guys to check that meme face out. But I thought that was him. He's definitely a legend, and I have heard about him. So that actually come from the Daytona Speed Weeks quite a few years ago where they raced on the little track there that was connected into the big speedway. I remember Kyle Larson and Gary Gauding being in that race as well. So, what else we got here, guys, as we're starting to fill up our time? Well, and Miss Lee chimed in here again. She said, and the main reason I agree on Tony, besides the fact that he's retired NASCAR, not only his NASCAR career, but his involvement in promotion of grassroots racing. Exactly. I agree 100% with Miss Lee on that as well. But now, Craig, I do believe that you had a reason to not put Tony Stewart in. Is that anything personal, or is there actually a legitimate response to that?
Sorry, I'm muted. No, it's personal.
Okay.
I think that.
Well, I kind of figured there was, and of course, we won't get into detail on that, but yeah, I kind of figured it was. It's hard to say two names together when, as a matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and be the bad guy out there. When this certain person that we're not to mention here, when he did an interview with Daryl Smoot or whatever his name is, and he said, what T-shirt would you not want your child to wear? I knew it wasn't the guy that he picked. I knew it was actually Tony Stewart that he probably wouldn't allow his kid to wear. But other than that, I guess we both know kind of where this is going.
Yeah. I'm interested to know. I want to get everybody's take before we get off of here for the night and spend what's left of it with our loved ones. Who is everybody's pick for the poll Sunday? And Danica's not an option.
She's always an option. Just it's not necessarily that type of option.
Pole. For the 500.
Yeah, pole for the 500. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with, I'll save mine for last. I want to see if anybody picks it, but picks him. But notice I said him. So let's start with CJ. Who's your pick for to win the poll for the 500 this Sunday?
Call me crazy, but I can see Chase Elliott find himself on the poll for the 500.
Funny. Go ahead, Chris.
I would much rather say who has the least likely chance to win the poll, because when I say this name, y'all are going to be like, what? Denny Hamlin for the poll.
Wow.
Yeah,
Sats,
wow.
If you're still,
you see that coming.
Sats, if you're still there, who do you think is going to win the poll? Just the name.
I'm here. I think, you know, why not go with the guy everybody says and everybody's going to go, you're crazy, but I'm going to go with Kyle Busch until he shows me otherwise.
Wow. All right. Miss Lee, I know you're listening. So if you want to send in who you think is going to be on the poll for the 500, I'll yell it out. But I'm going to tell you who I think it is. And actually, Jason picked it out. Mr. CJ Sports named him, and that would be Chase Elliott.
Y'all are a bunch of conspiracy theorists, and I know that NASCAR is going to give Chase Elliott the pole, so it's no doubt, it's a no-brainer. That's why I picked Denny Hamlin. If y'all really want to be honest, yeah, I think Chase Elliott's going to get the pole because he's going to have the bigger restrictor plate. What I'm so grateful of is this is the last dead blaming time that we got to worry about who gets the best restrictor plate, who gets the cheater, who gets the one that's been shaved down. Somehow, somebody always winds up with that special restrictor plate, and they're the talk all weekend, and most of the time Dale Jr. had it, most of the time he wrecked. But he did win 2 Daytona 500 with that special restrictor plate in a 10-year period, so you automatically know somebody was getting that special restrictor plate. But other than that, I mean, Chase Elliott, no doubt, he's probably going to get the pole.
Well, I can't believe, Chris, that I can't believe that you did not pick Kevin Harvick.
Forward to fast, baby. Freaky fast.
not according to your pick. So,
well, maybe somewhere amongst all this, I want to see Denny Hamlin revive his career before he winds up the next man out at Joe Gibbs Racing.
His career is on life support.
Yeah, he's on life support. He is the man in jeopardy, and a pole would help build his confidence. I think that Denny Hamlin is a very capable race car driver. I think that this is the fourth car syndrome, and he gets this bull crap equipment because Eric Jones is the fresh face there, and now you're going to have Martin Truex who's going to demand second to best quality stuff, and Denny's going to be kind of the odd man out of here with Christopher Bell hanging in with the new sponsorship and everything else to help lead the team into the future direction. So I it's hard to say it, and I'm going to, you know, say it again, but even as hard as it is, I'm going to be kind of watching Denny Hamlin this year, and to see him start off with the pole, I think would be a good confidence booster and help him into the 2019 race season, because regardless, Denny Hamlin's not going to retire, and even if he loses his ride at Joe Gibbs Racing, He's still a top-tier driver and deserves another chance at a great organization.
I think he's too old for another chance at an organization, but that's my opinion.
I don't see Denny Hamlin winding up at Stuart Haas, and I don't see Denny Hamlin winding up at Hendrick Motorsports. So that would basically leave Penske or, you know, somebody that we're just not thinking of right now. Maybe Chip Ganassi after he loses Kyle Larson to Hendrick Motorsports. But, you know, I don't know. We'll wait and see. But, you know, there is a reason why I picked Denny Hamlin, and that's my reason.
All right. Well, your reason is your reason, even though it's wrong. It's like your opinion.
And I am wrong so many times on this radio show. And I'm waiting to be proven wrong that Kyle Larson does not wind up at Hendrick Motorsports. I'm still waiting on that.
No,
because
you're
I believe you're absolutely correct.
I believe you're absolutely correct. Well, listen, a couple of us got to get up for work in the morning.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I want to say how much fun this is. And I enjoy this each and every week. I want to thank Stash for chiming in tonight. It's much appreciated. I want to go back to the Super Bowl. It was a heck of a game. If you liked a defensive game, if you liked a boring Super Bowl halftime show, everybody got up.
I didn't know Adam Levine was from California, you know? I mean, I
didn't
know.
Either until I seen his tat. But here, I just want to switch. I want to talk about this for a second. Now, I didn't have a problem with, I thought up until Travis Scott came out and they had to mute 80% of his song because he forgot the part where they told him he had to edit it. What did you guys actually think of the halftime show itself? Did you think it was more exciting than the game or more boring than the game?
Well, and I would leave this for the what I know now, you know, what I learned today. I learned who Travis Scott is because through the whole halftime show, I had no idea who Travis Scott was. But now that you've pointed out to exactly which one he was, it makes perfect sense. I thought Maroon 5 did an awesome job. It was not political. It was probably one of the more decent halftime shows in recent years with all the propaganda and Illuminati symbolisms that we've seen from the Super Bowl here in the last few years. If I need to bring some up, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, the one with Beyonce and her, you know, big power movement that she had. It was nice to not be politicalized. And as a fan, as a somebody generational, I grew up listening to Outkast bumping on my radio when I was a teenager. And to see Big Boy out there and to bring out the old, I like the way you move, da-da-da. I like the way you move, da-da-da. I like the way. I mean, come on, man. It was a shout-out to Atlanta, man. Big
ATL.
Huh?
Who sings that song?
Well, Outkast, Big Boy.
Okay, good. Can you let them sing it then?
So you don't like the way I move? Is that what you're saying? Is this a breakup?
Yeah, it's a breakup. The one thing that I really liked about it, everybody knows that I own a DJ business. The one thing that I liked about it is I was watching it, and he actually... Adam Levine was actually singing. He wasn't lip syncing, which I thought was good. I did make the comment when we were watching it that when he made the statement of, would anybody like to see me play this guitar? I said, yes, please. Otherwise, you're going to remind me of George Strait. Because if anybody's ever watched George Strait, he has a guitar on his shoulder, but if he strums it five times, that's about it.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, George Strait is nothing more than an entertainer. He doesn't write his own music. He doesn't play the guitar. Cowboy hat is fake, and that breaks a lot of country girls' hearts when they find out that George Strait doesn't even have a manly handshake. But I mean, it's great that you pointed that out. And something else is I'm glad to know that Adam Levine is actually a man, because when he hit those high notes, I've noticed his voice crack. So he can't really hit those notes that I was always wondering. And probably one of the funniest things of it all, and I don't know if we had people over for the Super Bowl, of course. My house was full. And, of course, there's always that one person that tries to sing to the lyrics to the song. And I got more of a kick out of listening to her blush the lyrics to the song ever than I did actually watching Adam Levine up on the stage. But, you know, I mean, when you get old, you do find little funky things like that to kind of get you rocking.
You know what I hate is when I'm singing along with a song and the artist gets the words wrong.
Yeah, which I think happened probably a few times with Levine as well. All in all, I think it was a great performance. Like I said, Mr. CJ Sports, what was your idea of the halftime show?
I mean, it was one of the better ones that I've seen in a while. I have no complaints about it. I guess I'm different than a lot of people when it came to the Super Bowl itself. One, I am a firm believer if the score would have been flip-flopped and it would have been the Los Angeles Rams that won 13-3 or 16-3, whatever it was, we wouldn't have a lot of people complaining about it being a boring game because the Patriots would have lost. So I think that would have changed a lot of people's perspective on it, even with the same score. I like a defensive game. To me, I get tired of watching high-scoring games with no defense. I did not want to watch another New England Patriot, Kansas City Chiefs, 45-42 shootout. I wanted to see how these teams could slow down, you know, especially the Patriots, slow down the Rams, who was a very high-scoring team. And so it was very intriguing and interesting to me to watch Bill Belichick and that defense shut down the Rams like nobody else could this year. So I didn't find it to be a boring game. You know, it would have been boring if it was 55-10, but it was close. It was within one scoring drive throughout the whole game. So you can't say that it was boring because the whole game was within one possession. It could have gone either way. So I enjoyed the game.
Well, and being from Mississippi, an Alabama fan, I know people give me a hard time. I'll tell you the backstory. But we play LSU every year, and that's about the score every year when we play LSU, a 13-3 ball game. It comes down to the last drive of the last quarter, who's already burnt their timeouts, and who can just get a first down in the ball game. Compared to that, it was a smash-mouth football game. Defense prevailed. And, of course, I believe the better team won. The Patriots are the better team. They know how to get it done. I'm not a Patriots fan, but, you know, look, man, until you can get in there and knock that quarterback to the ground and disrupt Tom Brady to the best of your ability, he's going to put a licking on you, and that's not the excuse for this game. They put pressure on Tom Brady. He looked like a 41-year-old quarterback, but the defense of New England played better than the defense of Los Angeles. That was the game the better defense won.
I have no problem with the halftime, but I don't know if the same thing was where you guys are, but as far as the media, I was a little disappointed. The one issue I kept reading over and over again, somehow these journalists picked out that that one guy had his shirt off all the time. I don't know how many times today I read in different papers, you know, that the guy had his shirt off. You know, that's what they chose to write about, you know.
Well, yeah, because
instead of the journalists playing push mob with each other at the end of the game where they were literally closing in on Tom Brady and Robert Kraft as if they were the most disrespectful people ever. They didn't even earn their credentials to be there. That was absolutely disgusting to see journalists do that. But what, even like you said, Stat, it was even more disgusting to make today's subject about a man who took off his T-shirt and was compared to Janet Jackson's nipple showing back 15 years ago when I was unacceptable.
Yeah, but now it's acceptable.
Look, I mean, there's some people that would agree it's acceptable on both sides to be shirtless. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's a different age. But you're talking about a man's game here where these guys, when they get done winning, they pull their jerseys off, and you know, what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. I don't know why journalists wasted their time today talking about Adam Levine taking off his shirt. If you got the chance, if you got the package, go ahead and show it, I guess. You know, the girls were turned on. I mean, that's all that matters, man. A happy wife is a happy life.
All right, guys. Well, you know what? I couldn't agree with you more, but it's time for me to head to the house. Listen, I'm a firm believer that if you got it, show it off. Whether you're man or woman, show it off if you got it. But on that note, well, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. We'll talk to everybody next Monday night. Back at a regular time.
Yeah. 8:00. And Mr. CA Sports, will you go ahead and close out any shows that we got this week? I think we got about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Carolina Sports Plus, Max Evasion Digital Media. Check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sport. Check us out on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Tomorrow night we got Natalie Decker and Lelante Mutiner joining us. And then on Wednesday, I know we got Michael Self. And we got Christian X over at Venturini Motorsports, and I apologize. We have one other driver. In other words, on the 110 Nation Sports Show, we got five drivers and Izzo joining us in the next two nights. So make sure you guys tune in over there and check us out.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week at our regular time. Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back.